Welcome to Active Kitchen, a fortnightly podcast of food and cooking stories. I'm Alex, and this fortnight, I really should have been the subject of a catering show episode. In case you haven't seen the catering show, that's catering with a K because the two hosts are Kates, it's a magnificent web series doing takedowns of food fashion. So when I made muffins using leftover sourdough starter and apple that I had dehydrated in my dehydrator, you get the idea. Of course, it would have been better if I'd actually grown the apples, but the broccoli in my vegetable garden is going great guns, so I'll just have to see how pretentious I can get in a couple of months. Or it might be something involving beetroot, because I've got a lot of that as well. Anyway, those muffins were quite good, although next time I will try to actually let the mixture culture overnight, as recommended, rather than being impatient and only letting it sit for half a day. Speaking of culture, I did not kill my sourdough starter, and last week I even managed to make entirely edible bread, which is very exciting. I also made paneer, but only because I had a litre of milk that was about to go off, and I figured I might as well experiment with it. I turned the paneer into spinach and paneer samosas, courtesy of a new cookbook I got to review called Indian Made Easy. I've got a detailed review of the book itself and some of the recipes on my blog, but basically it's a good book for someone who's a fairly comfortable cook who hasn't ever done much in the way of Indian cooking. I've made a few of the main meals, curries mostly, and on election night just past, I made marvellous carrot and orange balls, where the carrot and orange are simmered in milk with some sugar for about an hour and a half, and then fried in cardamom and butter, and then made into balls and drizzled with chocolate and pistachios, and it's really good. Finally this week, I had a near disaster averted by two dessert superheroes. I had made a Swiss roll, but I am a total sponge numpty. If you are a sponge hero, or your mum or grandma is, maybe you could set me up with some lessons, because this whole sponge thing is driving me batty. Anyway, my Swiss roll broke terribly, but, and here's where I really need some exciting music, when I was whinging about this on Twitter, Tansian Juice suggested I turn it into a trifle, which I did with some blood plums that I had preserved earlier in summer, and it was excellent. Yes, I also made the custard as well. See, I am a living catering show episode. On to this fortnight's interview. Amongst her many other accomplishments, Carly does something quite spectacular each Christmas, and I've always wanted to quiz her about it.
Hi, Carly. Thanks for joining me.
No worries, Alex.
I think it's fair to say that you're a bit into baking and cooking and things like that. One of the things that's always intrigued me about you is that you make gingerbread houses.
Yeah, I started it maybe 6 or 7 years ago as a way to make a present for my little brothers and cousin that would be kind of exciting, but something they could see before they got to unwrap their other presents.
So it's for Christmas.
Only for Christmas, yeah.
And to kind of set the scene here, how big are we talking?
I started off shoebox shape.
Wow. They started then, off. Does that mean they've got bigger?
Well, in fact, they've got a little smaller because they, construction-wise, they're a lot sturdier if they're smaller.
Right.
So I kind of do not very tall. And, yeah, I guess a bit smaller than a shoebox now. But, yeah, I'm planning to one day be able to do two stories. But at the moment, they're one story, little houses.
So you said you wanted to give them something to, I guess, look at before they unwrapped their presents. But why did you go with gingerbread houses?
A cake is for birthday. Mm. And cupcakes, I don't know, I don't think they're very Christmassy. And I'd like... I'm not very good at other sort of crafts. And I like that it's something that it's just for them to eat. And as a child, that was always something really special, that this was just for me and I can take as long as I like to eat it if I want. Or if I want to eat it all on Christmas Day, I can because it was my present.
Did you start off with a recipe from somewhere particular or make it up as you went along?
Yeah, I use It's a biscuit. So it's from the Biscuitier's Book of Iced Biscuits because they hold up particularly well with icing on them.
Mm.
And it's a spiced treacle biscuit. And I did one year use like a more traditional gingerbread recipe, but it just went too soft. And this biscuit recipe that I've got, I substitute half wholemeal flour. So it's a bit more sturdy and I bake it quite crisp. And then they hold up with lollies on them. So I've used that each time and the kids seem to like it.
Mm.
So why mess with it? They only get it once a year. And I figure if it was a different flavour, they'd be disappointed now that I've started.
So did you follow any instructions in order to construct the house itself?
I'm not very good at following instructions. So I look at a YouTube tutorial and go, oh yeah, I'm right. And I pause it halfway through and then I give it a go. So that did mean that one year I was shouting and cursing from the kitchen and my partner had to come in and help me. And in the process, I broke one of the walls and we had to construct another wall out of Tim Tams, which was actually received quite well. but yeah, the construction process is, I just give it a go, really. And at the end of the day, if there's heaps of icing cement, it'll probably stick together. And if it doesn't, the kids don't mind anyway.
I was going to ask about what sorts of challenges you faced. So clearly,
oh, there you go.
Standing up is sometimes a problem.
Yeah. So I find with constructing the houses, you need to make sure that the roof, like whatever biscuit you're using for the roof, is quite thin.
Mm.
And that you don't overload the roof with lollies. So it's it's really tempting because it's this big blank space to just chuck rows and rows of lollies on, but it'll make it too heavy. And so I've had that, I've done that in the past where the roofs have just collapsed because I've tried to tile, you know, like tiles on roofs.
Shingled
I tried to do that. Yeah, exactly. Make shingles out of freckles or Smarties or whatever, but it's just too heavy. And jelly beans are way too heavy for roofs. They have to go right down the bottom.
So yep. Does that mean zero lollies go on the roof these days?
Not zero, but a bit of piping work and some sparse lollies and quite a light thin biscuit, so quite a light roof. And yeah, lots of icing cement down the middle, and then you can put some lollies on the very top of the roof to kind of give a bit of extra structure.
What other sorts of lollies do you use on the rest of the house?
My brothers differ in their tastes. So strawberries and creams have to go on Bailey's, and not too much chocolate on Riley's. And I find that the more colourful, the better. Lots of freckles. Freckles are good because they give lots of colour, but they're quite light. And jelly beans and tubes aren't that great because they're too heavy. So I stick with freckles and Smarties and red and green M&Ms.
I seem to remember that maybe last year you were experimenting with sugar something or other.
Yeah.
What was the deal there?
So sugar glass looks incredible, and I'd seen it in a few YouTube tutorials and different kind of galleries of really intricate gingerbread. So a lot of much more skilled people than me can make these incredible gingerbread houses with what's effectively stained glass windows. And then you can put a little light inside and they'll glow as if they're Christmas Eve in the Northern Hemisphere somewhere, all dusted with snow, and they look beautiful. So I tried to make it this year. So as the dough's, as the biscuit's cooking, stamp out, sort of halfway through the bake, stamp out a window shape. So I do portholes if it's going to be a kind of nautical theme, like a little beachside boathouse or something, or just regular windows. And you do it halfway through the bake so that they stay nice and sharp. And then once the biscuit's baked and cooled, you drip in pour in molten sugar. So the idea is that then it will set hard and it will be like stained glass. So that's the idea, and I would certainly encourage anyone to go and have a look at YouTube tutorials on how to make it properly, because it looks amazing. But what I did was I was a bit disorganized and slapdash, and usually you use boiled lollies because they've got very high sugar content and a bit of food coloring already, and I think the boiling process means that they will set quite hard and brittle. But I didn't leave enough time to find them, so I just bought regular sort of lollipops, and I think they had too much other crap in them. When they were flat on the baking paper, it looked beautiful. And then once they were raised vertically to be constructed into the houses, they just sagged with gravity. And I just watched them over about 4 hours, this glass just drip out of its window and melt.
So sad.
Into the bottom. It was very sad. But the best part was that I'd Instagrammed at the very beginning what they looked like. So they looked incredible.
Yeah.
And so my brother had quite high hopes when the actual houses arrived for Christmas, and I had to admit to him that, no, I didn't follow the instructions and yours haven't worked. But he was so overcome with the idea that I'd even tried that he didn't mind.
You got points from a brother for trying.
Just for trying. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah. He's very generous.
Have there been other experiments with different ways of doing things?
I've tended to stick with the pretty basic kind of pitched roof, four-sided house. I nearly did a hexagonal sort of Japanese-inspired one, like a garden house with lots of space and lots of air. I thought that would look very pretty. But it can be quite difficult to get the biscuit to not crack if you're cutting lots of window panes out of it.
Yep.
So I'll stamp a few windows out of the walls, and, you know, I've done different themes.
Yep.
So beach boxes, an under the sea theme, a kind of Santa's garden sort of theme, because they're all for Christmas, but not in terms of style.
And thoughts for the future? Plans or challenges you want to try and take on?
Well, certainly the two-story one, because that will allow me to hide a present in the lower story.
Just for an additional level of difficulty.
Exactly. And then the windows in the top story, you'll be able to peek into, you know, whatever I can put in there.
Wow.
So I like the element of surprise, if you can peek in and see that there's something else inside. And if I keep eating, then that, whether it's gold coins or a different present, or one year I did sugar geodes.
Wow.
So as they started to eat through the roof, they could see that there's something else inside. So I like that aspect of it.
That's really quite remarkable. And I presume that they're always fairly well received by the family.
Yep. And the adults have expressed jealousy in the past. So I've also done just little boxes, which are nice and easy. You can just stamp out 6 squares and put a Ferrero Rocher and a couple of other things in them. And if you can, they're mainly impressed that I can pipe much neater than my actual handwriting. So if I can pipe everyone's name on the top, on the lid of the box, and that is then like our place setting, then people think that's pretty impressive.
I think that's pretty impressive as well. My final question, which I'm going to be asking everyone, is when you find new recipes for anything, what do you do with your with those recipes? Do you have somewhere to keep them?
I tend to have one recipe in each of my baking books. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a biscuit book or a cupcake book or a, you know, fancy cake book, there's one in each book. That's my go-to.
Yep.
I have a little scrapbook, And I've also tried using a few iPad apps, but they've never quite stuck.
Right.
And I just go back to, I know that book has my biscuit recipe and that book has my chocolate cake recipe. And that's all I do.
Fair enough. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Carly.
My pleasure, Alex.
If you would like to give Carly any feedback on her gingerbread stories, or if you'd like to get suggestions on how to create your own, you can email me, actsofkitchen@gmail.com. That's acts as in A-C-T-S. And I'll be very happy to pass on your comments. My blog is actsofkitchen.com. There are reviews of the cookbook Indian Made Easy, as well as reviews of Saffron Tales, which I was enjoying a couple of weeks ago. If you've got any other feedback or comments, feel free to email me. And of course, you can leave a review on iTunes. Cheers.